Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
The Recession Podcast with yours truly, Jeezy, is a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. This is Jeezy, Grammy-nominated urban philosopher, philanthropist, and entrepreneur, and this is my show, The Recession Podcast. For years, I used my music to highlight the struggles and issues facing this country, the economy, politics, protests, mental health, and more. And now, strong voices are more important than ever before. On this show, I will speak to powerful people from all walks of life to have real conversations about change, perseverance, and hope. And each episode will feature a sample of a song from my new album, The Recession 2. So without further ado, let's begin the Recession Podcast. Let's get it. Today's conversation is going to be a little different. My guest for this episode is Philadelphia's own and friend, Freeway. He made a name for himself by being part of Rock Familia and recorded records with artists like Jay-Z and Benny Siegel. But outside the studio, Free is speaking out as he's an advocate for healthcare and a survivor of kidney failure. He went through 4 years of pain doing his dialysis treatments before he found a donor. And a few weeks ago, he tragically lost his son.
You know, they say God tests the ones he loves. You know, he must love me because I've been getting hit with a lot of tests, bro, but I'm just trying to, you know, keep my head up and stay positive.
Overcoming grief, just like the way Freeway has, was the key part of one of my latest songs, entitled The Glory. Here's my conversation with Freeway on the Recession Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Freeway, and Freeway is a part of the iconic rock La Familia movement.
Yes, sir.
You know, he got some of the best verses in rap, and I love that, man. But today, this is a different approach, bro. I mean, the last time, you know, I saw you, you was in my basement at my studio.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was all kicking it one night. I think it's a gang of us down there. We was listening to Meek's album.
Or
something like that. Yeah, it was last time we got up.
Yeah, that was the On the Run 2 tour. After that I slid, though. It was a good night, man. I had a good time rocking with y'all. I wish I would have put a verse on that record though, but it's all good.
Yeah, you should have pulled it back up. And shoot your shot, baby. You know,
yeah, it's all
couple
good.
Of drinks. You know, it's gonna happen. Everybody feeling good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So how's Philly? Like, what's going on in Philly right now? How, with everything going on in the pandemic, I know you close to the streets.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you close to the people. I mean, how do you feel like it's changed?
It's rough in Philly right now. You know, people dropping like flies. Like, I just was watching the news, and a chick just came back from, she was on vacation in Atlanta. She just came back from vacation, and she was, like, visiting somebody down North Philly, and she got murdered. You know, people began murdered every day in Philly. Wow. Like, young kids. Yeah. It's crazy. It's wild out here right now.
Do you pair with what's going on in the world, or just that's just Philadelphia for you?
I mean, it's Philadelphia for you, but it definitely got a lot to do with what's going on in the world, with the climate of the world, you know, with the pandemic, and then, you know, all the police brutality going on, you know, mm-hmm. the cops killing people, you know, those things definitely spark it back up. It's a guy that had mental issues. It probably was like 2 weeks ago in Philly, and his peoples had called the cops to come defuse the situation. And, you know, the cops wound up shooting him and killing him right in front of his mom, right? And everybody had it on camera, you know, so.
Yeah,
of course, I saw
that on the news.
Of course, they start tearing the city back up. They start looting in, you know, people got to board their businesses back up. And, you know, they was right back to it when that happened. It's wild in the streets right now.
Yeah, I saw that on the news, and I saw it somewhere else. And it was crazy because you could see the whole clip. I mean, you could see his mother screaming for him to stop.
Yeah.
You can see, you know, the officers, you know, taking that stance, and then you see it when it's happened. And mm-hmm. the crazy thing is, like, you know, I know you being from Philly, like I'm being from Atlanta, like it's different types of cities. And Philly is, to me, is like one of those cities where, like, you know, it has its own heartbeat. Like, it's the people, all the people in Philly, whether it's just the Muslim nation, you know, just the beliefs and how they go about it is, you know, when you're in Philly, like,
for sure.
You know,
it's definitely a vibe in Philly. And, you know, we have a large, I'm Muslim myself, and we have a large Islamic mm-hmm. community. So, you know, whoever the majority is, you know, basically tends to have effect on the people. You know, that's why if you come to Philly, you might see a brother with a big beard. He might not even be Muslim, but he just, that's what he's seeing. That's what he's around. So, you know, that's the influence on the culture in Philly.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Man, I mean, you know, it's crazy to see, bro, just everything, you know, going on in the world. And like I said, I popped in Philly when everything was all good.
Yeah.
And, it was Philadelphia, and I'm just sitting back and I'm like, you know, I haven't been in a while because of the pandemic, and I can just only imagine. I wanted to talk to you specifically because, you know, we do what we do and we love what we do. And, you know, we never think about when we doing, you know, music or things that we do in life to advance that, you know, health care or your health could be something that can change everything about,
for sure,
you know, who you are and what you're doing. And I just wanted to talk to you today because, you know, even when I heard the news that you was diagnosed with kidney failure, when I first heard the news, I'm like, wow, like, I know Free, full of life, full of energy. You know, he get his thing off. He got it in him. And it just, like, you know, even growing up, you know, listening to you guys' music, you know, you just think that, you know, I would have took it like, you know, you was invincible because of what I seen.
Sure. And, me being me, I felt like that. I felt like I was invincible. I felt like nothing could happen to me. And, you know, being an artist, like, we'd be in a stew 2-3 in the morning, ordering cheeseburgers, eating whatever we want to eat, running around after the shows. You get out the club 2-3 in the morning. You got an appetite because you just burned it down. So you going to whatever's open, like, you know, and those things after years and years of living like that affected my body. In September 2015, I was diagnosed with end-stage renal failure. I was on dialysis for 4 years, from September 15th, 2015, to February 5th, 2019, where I, you know, received my gift of life. I received a organ transplant, which was a blessing to me, because even when I was out there with y'all, I was on dialysis at the time. That's why, you notice I had to break out early.
Yeah, I peeped that.
The next morning, I had to do dialysis. And I even, like I said, I had my cameraman in there and he shot the little video when we was in there, and he showed that the next morning I had to go to dialysis, you know? That was my reality at the time. And dialysis, for the people that don't know.
I was going to ask you to explain that, yeah.
Yeah, it's the process that it does what your kidneys does. It cleans the fluids and the toxins out of your body. So they will hook me to a machine and they stick two needles in my arm. One is called the venous and one is called the arterial. That's why even though I got a transplant, I still got this in my arm. I didn't get it removed yet, but I'm going to get it removed. And with these two places, they access the blood. They stick the venous and the arterial, two needles in my arm. One needle drains the blood out, put it in a machine, and it cleans the blood. And then the other needle puts the blood back into my body, you know, so it's basically filtering my blood and doing the job that my kidney does. And it takes 4 hours a day. So I was doing that 4 hours a day, three times a week, no matter where I was at in the world, you know, I had to do it.
So when that happens, is it somebody that travels with you to do it, or you just know how to do it with the machine yourself?
There's a few different ways you could do dialysis. The way that I did it, it's called hemodialysis. That's when they hook you to the machine and they stick you with the two needles. And the reason why I chose that is because you actually go to the dialysis clinic and the nurses do it for you. You know what I'm saying? And I felt that was easier for me. It was more safe. It was less risk of infection, you know, because it's other forms of dialysis that you could do at home. And, you know, you have to do it in a sterile, clean room. And, you know, it's certain rules that you got to follow, but you're doing it on your own. So I felt as though if I did it with, you know, with the actual dialysis care people, it would be better for me. You know what I'm saying? And it worked out for me. I didn't get any infections throughout the whole time. And it was good. The only thing is when I travel, I have to go to different dialysis units. So when I was in Atlanta, I knew I was going to be doing a couple dates on that tour. So before I left, my dialysis unit set up dialysis for me in every city that I went to, you know, because there's dialysis units everywhere, all over the world. So they lined it up like part of my itinerary. You know what I'm saying? So you know how itineraries go. I had to be here a certain time in the morning, be on point. You know what I'm saying? So it was a huge life adjustment, but you know, I made it work. And by the grace of God, I received a kidney.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you about that. So go back a little bit because I just want to understand. Because I had my my thing too. I was, you know, drinking Cristal and eating Waffle House in 02. Oh, I was 260.
I seen you hopping out of Lambos. I was there early.
And I was 260 pounds, and I saw myself on TV one day, and I was just like, damn, I got to figure this shit out. Yeah. And I just started researching on how to, you know, how to eat better. You know, I wasn't drinking water at all. I was champagne and whatever I can get. And I was just eating crazy hours, whatever. And now I'm a pescatarian, but it took a lot. And I lost 60 pounds on my own just by researching and learning how to eat better and learn how to get my water intake up. And it did a lot for me, even mentally, you know, definitely. Spiritually, it just, you know, health wise, it just, I feel better. I feel, you know, younger and I felt older then. Yeah. You know, I get up tired, the whole thing. So my question is, how, like, when you was eating and you was doing your thing, like, did you feel, because you're basically saying this came from not eating right and taking care of your body.
Just like how you said, you know, I was 230 at one point. Just like how you said you was groggy and tired. I felt all that. You know, I knew that I needed to lose weight, and, you know, I wasn't taking the proper steps to do it. You know what I'm saying? And prevention, you know what I mean? I could have avoided being on dialysis. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure and diabetes, so I had warnings. High blood pressure is a risk factor for kidney failure. Diabetes is a risk factor for kidney failure. And just being African-American is a risk factor for kidney failure.
Wow.
So soon as we born with a risk factor. You know what I'm saying? So
why is that? Do you know?
I mean, I'm not exactly sure. It has something to do with our genetics. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I'm
saying? Okay.
So, you know, as soon as we born, we have a risk factor. So, you know, I didn't take heed. Like when I first was diagnosed with high blood pressure and diabetes, I was chilling. Like, you know, Beans got diabetes too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when I first got diagnosed with diabetes and high blood pressure, I was on it. Like I was eating right. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. I remember pulling up on Mac. We had a show and he was like eating a cheesesteak. I'm like, yo, dog, what you doing? We got diabetes. You can't eat no cheesesteak. He like, "Free, I'm eating a cheese steak." And I'm like, "You tripping." Like seven, eight months later, I was splitting a cheese steak with him. Then I'm right back to eating cheese steaks.
Right,
you know
back
what I'm
eating cheese steak.
You know what I'm saying? So it's all about making the proper choices. You know, prevention is all about putting the right things in your body, you know, making sure you're watching your food intake, you drinking the right fluids. You see, I'm on an alkaline water, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you got to put the right things in your body. And the most important thing is keeping up with your routine physicals, at least getting your blood work done at least once a year. Because your blood work is the only thing that can tell you what's really going on in your body.
What's going on with your body?
You know what I'm saying?
It's like your oil change.
Yeah, for sure.
If you ain't on it. And it's crazy because even for me, like, it was one point in my career, like, I was drinking, smoking, hanging, not getting rest. And it was all there, bro.
It was a lot.
And one day, and I was just like, damn, like, I just really felt myself, you know, being weaker and having problems that I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Health wise, like, when you learned how to eat better, was it like something that when you went to the doctor they told you, hey, look, you need to change up your whole diet? Or is it something you went and researched?
For sure. Yeah.
What was that diet like?
They tell you what you got to do. Then it's up to you to do it. You know, it's your life. It's your body. You know what I'm saying? The doctor's going. Right. They're going to give you the manual, but it's up to you to follow it. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I switched to an alkaline diet for a minute, you know, that worked good for me for a few months. You know, then I just, you know, started eating lean meats and just watching my intake and watching what I put into my body. And, you know, when we used to be on tour back in the day, running around with Jay and Dame, they used to be like, yeah, I remember waking up. Jay and them used to be in the gym early in the morning working out, and like we used to order food and stuff. They'd be like, "I'm telling y'all eating them cheeseburgers, y'all better." Like Jay was eating like crab cakes and baked wings and healthy things, and we was just eating whatever. We Superman and ain't nothing gonna happen. And you know, slowly but surely it affected me.
Yeah, well, as soon as I started changing, eat my diet, you got to imagine, I got a whole tour bus full of G's from my neighborhood, and all they talking about is, man, you eating that bougie food.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, man, I'm trying to stay alive, man.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be out here to spend some of this paper.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
With something like that dialysis, my auntie, she actually has to do the same thing, and I didn't understand it until my mother explained it to me. Mm-hmm. And is it painful?
It can be painful. It's draining. Like one day you might feel like you could do things afterwards. One day you might just want to go to bed. Like, it's draining. Like, it's all of your body is blood is getting drained out of your body and getting put back in. The most painful part is the needles. Like, every time I had to put the needles on, it's something called lidocaine. It's like a numbing cream that I had to put on my arm before I put the needles in. So you put that on like 20 minutes before you go to dialysis. So I remember one day I was like, I had a show. So I'm like, came straight off the road and I had to go straight to dialysis. And the numbing cream was at my house. So I'm like, I'm cool. I ain't worried about that numbing cream, man. I went in that joint and they stuck me with them needles without that numbing cream, dog. Oh my God, yo. Dumb Jones, like the whole time, it's just like, they 15 gauge needles, they be like this big.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, whew, like that's the most painful part. And then, you know, being on dialysis, they drain the fluids and the toxins out of your body. So sometimes they might drain too much fluid and then you'll be cramping. Like, that was like the most worst part for me. I would like catch cramps in both of my legs and then they cramp up, then your back cramp up and you like a big cramp and you can't do nothing. It's just very painful.
Damn. And you say the first indicator was diabetes?
A risk factor is high blood pressure, diabetes.
Right.
And
right.
Being African American, those are the three major risk factors.
Three, obviously, because you're all three of them. So yeah. When you was diagnosed with diabetes, and I hear diabetes a lot. Yeah. I know Boosie has diabetes, and I see him from time to time. You know, posting things, trying to get needles and get his insulin. Did you have to go through that process of taking insulin and doing the whole thing? And how did you know when you was diagnosed with diabetes, like you went and got a checkup?
Shout out to Dame, because you know he had diabetes for a long time, so you know I would see him, he would always show us like, yeah, I got diabetes, it's nothing to be ashamed of. So when I was diagnosed with diabetes, being as though, you know, one of my mentors, somebody I looked up to, had diabetes, I wasn't ashamed of it, you know what I'm saying? I just did what I had to do. Fortunately, I was on insulin for like 6-7 months, you know. I just started working out. I started eating right. So they took me off the insulin and I was just taking pills for diabetes. But once I got on dialysis, I lost a lot of weight. So I haven't been taking medicine for diabetes since then. You know, I got it under control right now by the grace of God. You know, so type 2 diabetes can be controlled if you do the right thing, put the right things in your body. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But you can feel it. Like one of the signs of diabetes and kidney failure is urinating a lot. Like, if you find yourself having to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. I remember I couldn't even ride to New York from Philly without having to go to the bathroom. Like, I had to stop at a rest stop, like, and I just was like always thirsty and I just always felt like I had to go to the bathroom. I knew something wasn't right. And then I went to the doctors. My blood pressure was high, you know, and they kept me in the hospital for like a week, and then they got everything under control. Then I came home. You know, I had to start taking medicine. And at the time, I didn't even have health insurance. You know, we don't get no health insurance in hip hop. Like, we got it. It's up to us to go out and get it.
Right.
You know, I'm paying $700-$800 a month just for my medicine. And, you know, I had it.
Out of pocket.
Yeah, I had it. And I was like, man, fortunately, I had it. You know what I mean? I wasn't even thinking about getting insurance. But once I finally got insurance, my medicine was probably like $60, $70 a month,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why it's very important that we have healthcare. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a big difference. Fortunately, I was in a situation when I can afford it, but there's so many people that's in that same situation that can't afford it, you know?
I mean, that's crazy, because it's just like, you know, when you get money and you know, you're really just thinking about keeping it moving, you ain't even, you know, considering the fact, because you're not even slowing down to take care of yourself, to make sure that you're good so that you can keep being that machine. Like, it's like, because your body is the only vehicle you got to get you
sure.
to where you're going. And when you're in that world, like, you know, us, is like, you just, you know, you're getting the bread. So you figure, okay, if I can pay for it, I'll be good. Like, did you ever think, and then if you fast forward to now, because I want to go back and forth, like, fast forward to now, like, do you know how much money you probably spent out of pocket on your healthcare versus what
I probably did that for like 2 years.
Right.
$700-$800 a month for like 2 years. So you do the math, you know, and that's yeah. just, you know, just the regular medicine, not to mention the doctor's visits that I had to pay for out of pocket because I didn't have insurance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I just was rocking out because I had it, you know?
Right. And even like now, like, so you have the insurance, you still mm-hmm. have to go get, you know, checked up and, you know, everything you do. So
yeah, for sure.
Like, with everything that's going on in the world, when you think of, like, you know, healthcare and what's at stake with the government and how they're going back and forth, I mean, how does that affect you? Because, you know, they talk about taking healthcare away, they're making healthcare this, they're making healthcare that. And you got people like yourself that this is something that you're going to have to deal with
yeah.
for pretty much, you know, a lifetime.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why I've been vocal about it, because it's very, very important. Like I told you, you got to see the doctor at least once a year to get your routine physicals and get your blood work done. If you don't right. have health care, you ain't doing that. Like, people in the hood not doing that. Like, I remember yeah. back in the day, you could take your man medical card. Like, if you something happened to you, you'd be like, yo, let me borrow your medical card. You could go to the free clinic and get checked out. But it's not going down like that right now. You need your own health insurance, you know, and it's very important. And the people in the inner cities, they don't go to the doctors. They don't have health insurance. If they don't have health insurance, they don't go to the doctors. I remember I was down the way, down north, like in the Kensington area. That's like where all the dope and everything is at, Kensington Beach. And one of my homies still be out there. And we was chopping it up. This like when COVID first hit. And he was like, yo, bro, I was watching the news and all the statistics. Nobody got COVID down here. Like, the whole Kensington, ain't nobody got COVID down here. And I'm like, that's because ain't nobody down there going to the doctors to get a test and get checked out.
Right, right.
You know
right,
what I'm saying? Because
right,
don't nobody
right.
down there got no health insurance.
Right, right.
So you got a whole neighborhood where nobody is registering because nobody got health insurance, and everybody probably got COVID, and they leave that neighborhood and run around to the rest of the city and spread it all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Being in Philly and, you know, and a lot of people don't have health insurance. And I'm quite sure in your journey and things you've been going through, have you ran into any youngsters like that faced the same situation? You know, kidney problems, no insurance, no healthcare. Have you ran across any like youngsters or people that you might know personally?
Definitely. You know, when I came out with my story, bro, you'd be surprised. It's probably people right around you right now that might have kidney failure and won't even tell you, you know, because people be embarrassed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, you know, especially in the business that we're in, no one wants to look weak. You know, everybody
yeah.
wants to look
no
strong.
No
you know
course.
What I'm saying? So
right.
It's people that's in the music business that like, yo, Free, you know, I'm doing, like, I appreciate you coming out with your story. I'm dealing with the same thing that you're dealing with, but don't say nothing to nobody. Don't tell nobody. Like, and they, you know, struggling to keep an appearance up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's probably even making it worse for them because, you know, going through that on top of stress and, you know, and anxiety, it could just make the situation way worse, you know. But it's people in the business that's going through what I'm going through. You see our OG Scarface, you know, was just diagnosed with kidney failure.
Which is crazy.
Chopped it up with him a couple times. You know?
What was that conversation like?
Well, basically, you know, he just basically, you know, wanted to know what I knew. You know, and I basically was like breaking down to him, you know, everything that I went through, you know, and just letting him know I'm here for him if you ever want to talk, you know, and use any of my resources that I have, you know, just basically, you know, being a brother to him because I know how it felt when I was diagnosed with kidney failure, bro. Like when I first walked into the dialysis room, bro, imagine this. You Jeezy and you walking into a dialysis room is probably like 20 patients in there, and you first walk in there and you see the machine, you got to sit there for 4 hours. I'm like, wow, this is my life now. Like, coming from just being on the big stage to that, like, it was like, whoa, it's like the reality check. Like, you're like, God is in control. You're not in control. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many business you got. Like, I don't care how much jury you got. God is in control. That was like a reality check, bro. And then being in dialysis is like a family. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you're with them three times a week. You know what I'm saying? And one day I was in dialysis and somebody died right next to me. But it happened to be a day that wasn't my day. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was the same situation where I had a show and I had to come like the next day. So I was on a shift that I don't normally be on. You know what I'm saying? So the person passed away like right next to me. And it was crazy for me just because that's my reality. Like, this could be me too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because we're going through the same thing. But I didn't have a relationship with him because it wasn't my normal day. Like, if it was my normal day and it was somebody that I kick it with every day, we talk about sports and everything, like, that joint would have hurt, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like losing one of the homies. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you guys,
it's just like the streets. Like, we know, like, if somebody gets shot, and you in the same, you doing the same thing they doing, you out here in the streets taking the same risks they taking, and they get killed, you like, damn, this could be me. Like, this is, we're doing the same thing. So that's how it was with me, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And y'all get that that bond because y'all have something in common.
Yeah, for sure.
That you experiencing together. Like, the average person wouldn't understand the nights that you might be sick, or the mornings you wake up and you might be too weak to do what you got to do, and you got 1,000 things, and you got, you know, things on your plate. You got responsibilities. You got people to take care of that depend on you, and it's just like your physical is not there.
Yeah.
Like, how did it affect you? Like personally, though, like, what? Because I'm a fan of Freeway. Like, I watch you guys grind. I watch, you know, the whole movement. Like, how did it affect you? Like, mentally, like, just, you know, what you came from, and then you walking into this life, did it make you stronger mentally as a fighter? Because I know you're a fighter, you're from Philly, you got to do that.
Yeah, but most definitely.
How did it affect you mentally?
Well, I'm Muslim, bro. Like, you know what I mean? And for those that don't know about Islam, like, you know, Islam is just a beautiful religion. Like, it's like, there's no blind following. Everything makes sense, man. And I believe in Allah. Like, when a doctor called me, I was in the house, you know, with my peoples. And when a doctor called me, it was like, you need to get to the emergency room right now. Like, your creatine levels is off. Your kidney functions is off. I didn't even tell her. I just went straight to I was like, the doctor called me, I gotta go see the doctor. I didn't tell her what it was about or how serious it was. And I just went straight to the masjid and I prayed and I asked God to help me deal with whatever the situation is. I believed that he was going to do that. And I went to the doctors. I was diagnosed with kidney failure. They cut my chest open. They put a permacath in. Then the next day I started doing dialysis and I accepted it. I'm like, God ain't going to put nothing on me that I can't handle. And I just started moving forward with it. And I felt like it was important for me to let people know what I was going through, because I had 3 risk factors for kidney failure and I still didn't think it could happen to me. My cousin Shandia, she died because she had kidney issues. I got an Uncle Chucky that had a transplant. Now he's back on dialysis. And I have all these examples in my life. I felt like it was very important for me to let people know and spread the awareness, because there's so many people that's in the same position and might not even want to go to the doctors, you know what I'm saying? Because they're fearful, you know? So I felt like, hey, look, people know that I keep it a beam at all times with my music and, you know, just the type of person that I am. And if you know me, then you know I stand on that. So if I'm out here telling y'all that this happened to me because of these choices that I made, and it could happen to you too, hopefully somebody will listen.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
So I heard some news recently, man, and I really wanted to reach out to you. I actually looked through my phone. I was like, man, I got to find Free's number. And I just really was just, you know, I took a minute to breathe because I'm like, wow. And I understand that you lost your son.
Yeah, man.
Recently. And me having a son, I can only imagine what it's like, you know, losing a child, and especially coming out of a situation where you're already dealing with so many complications. And now this comes, like, and I really wanted to reach out to you and send you, you know, as many blessings as I can, brother. And it's just like, you know, how are you holding up?
Man, like I told you, you know, about Islam and about God, like, you know, without that, bro, I don't know what I don't know, bro. Like, without that, I don't know where I would be at right now. But, you know, my faith in God and my understanding in God really, really got me through. Like, this 2020 for me, bro, like September, my daughter, she's sitting right here. My daughter was diagnosed with cancer. My daughter fighting cancer right now, bro. We just went to the doctors the other day. Like, she's getting ready to start a treatment probably in like another week to try to shrink the tumors that she have in her body. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we were dealing with that in September, and then for my son to die like in October, like, it's,
yeah, man.
You know, they say God tests the ones he loves. You know, he must love me because I've been getting hit with a lot of tests, bro. But I'm just trying to, you know, keep my head up and stay positive.
Right, right. You're strong, brother. Like, you're strong. You're strong. Mm-hmm. You got that Philadelphia heart in you. What was your relationship like with him? Like, what was your relationship like with your son?
I love my son. He loved me. He lived with me. He lived between me and his grandma. His name is, he rapped, his rap name was Snow Hat.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
He, you know, of course, he loved you. Like, you know, I had him around everybody, you know. You know, he had his own struggles, you know, just like teenagers coming up. He was 20, you know what I'm saying? He had little issues that he went through himself. You know, I was just trying to be there for him as much as I can. You know, that's my son. I love him. You know, I wanted the best for him. And, you know, it's tough dealing with the fact that he passed, man, you know. But just trying my best, bro, you know.
No, my son is 20. He's in the age bracket, too. Like, I mean, I can't, like, as a father, to lose a child, and I know you go to Allah, but what do you tell yourself mentally? Like, is there anything that you wish you could have done different, you know, just in the time that you
guys had? I mean, of course, bro, of course. Like, I think about that every day. Like, it's like, anything can trigger it. Like, he liked music. Right. Like, I'm like, man, maybe I should have had him with me more. But I was I was taking a stance with him that he was definitely talented, and I definitely wanted him to do music if he wanted to, but I wanted him to have all the other qualities before he was in the music business. Because, you know, if you don't got your head on straight in the music business, there's no way that you could be successful. Like, you know, people...
Straight up.
You know what I mean? He already, you know, had a chip on his shoulder because he was my son, you know what I mean? So he already having his way wherever he go, you know what I'm saying? Spoiled to a certain point just from being Freeway son, you know what I'm saying? But I wanted him to have the right morals and, you know how to handle certain situations. And that's what I was trying to instill in him more than anything, more than the music and all that, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of things that every day I like, man, I could have did this, I could have did that, but you know, I can't beat myself up. And you know, what's decreed by God, what's decreed by Allah, we can't argue with. Like, you know what I'm saying? I would be a hypocrite, you know, if I'm sitting here like, oh, I could have did this, I could have did that, because we all have our stories. Like in Islam, they say the pen has been lifted and the ink has been dried. Like, God knows how I'm going to die. He knows how you're going to die. It's already written. So, you know, it was my son's time, man, you know. And of course, like, I just opened up a letter earlier today that somebody that he was working with wrote me, and it had me in tears. Just opened up a letter from the Gift of Life today. I just went to the mailbox before I did this. It was two letters, the Life. And like, as far as the Gift of Life, like, my son, he saved four lives. He was an organ donor.
Your son saved four?
He saved four lives. Two people got his kidneys, one person got his lungs, and one person got his liver. And it's a blessing, you know, and for it to come full circle, because someone's son saved my life. Someone's son was in the same position, and, you know, they were generous enough for him to be an organ donor, and that's how I received my kidney, you know. So that's why the gift of life is so important. And, like, you know what I'm saying? They sent me the letter, and I started reading it, and it was telling me, like, yeah, it was a 65-year-old man, your son got his kidney. And I couldn't even read the whole letter. I was like, I'm gonna read it later, because I know I had to do this, and I got other stuff I gotta do after that. I was like, I'm gonna read it later when I could sit down and, like, you know, really have time to myself and read it, because it probably would have tore me up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's anything can trigger it, bro. Like, he was right in here with me, like, you know what I'm saying, walking around. Like, I still got footage of him on the cameras walking, going to the refrigerator, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's rough, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, that's my boy. Like, you know what I mean? That's a little free. Like,
Right. And it's crazy, rough, because it's black men, you know, we taught to not show emotion.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, man. But it's crazy because, you know, he saved four people. You know, he saved four people. And that's a purpose in his own. What was he into? Like, what did he like? What did he like? I know he loved music for sure.
He liked everything we like. He liked music, you know. Right. He loved Islam. That's a beautiful thing. And that's another thing that makes me feel content. The fact that he's Muslim, like, and he knew who God was. He prayed. Like, I ain't gonna sit here and say he prayed all the time, but he prayed and he knew who God was. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and being able to give him an Islamic burial, a janazah, that was very important to me too. But, like, you know, he from Philly, he loved music, he loved Islam, he loved the streets. Like, you know, he looked up to everything that I did. He wanted to be just like me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little free, a little free. And those are some hard shoes to follow. So it's just like, you know, even with my son, it's just like a lot of pressure trying to walk in your footsteps, because, you know, you created such a great legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, and I would encourage and condolences,
thank you.
My
thank
guy,
you.
Like,
thank
for
you.
Real. And it's just like, you know, dealing with all these things that you got going on as far as your daughter, yourself.
And as far as that, we right back to the Rumble. Like, we was at the doctor's Monday? We right back rumbling, like, making sure that she pulled through this. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why faith is important. Like, imagine if I ain't had no faith. Shout out to my bro, Skino, too. You know, Skino from Stay Property, he lost his son the same week. I was at his son's janazah on Wednesday, and that's the same day my son died. I went to his son's janazah, We prayed over his son. My son was still in the hospital. We went to that day at 5:04 p.m. My son was pronounced dead. And that, like, you know, wow. he is rough for both of us, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. he lost his son in a car accident, and his son and his son's girlfriend passed away. They both died in an accident, you know, right. And, you know, it's rough, man, you know, but, you know, at least we got each other, you know, we got a similar experience that we got with each other. That's special to me. And speaking of like, you know, experiences and people going through the same things, I seen you had a picture with Biden, you know, and I started like dealing with politics a little bit when I first got sick. You know what I'm saying? That's when Hillary Clinton was running for office, just basically off healthcare and just making sure that people have the healthcare that they need. Cause we just was talking about how important healthcare is, you know? So, being as though I've been working with them, Biden team had reached out to me and they wanted me to, come to his rally in Philly. And that was like the day after my son died or whatever. And, you know, I went and I felt as though it was important for me to go and meet him and chop it up with him. And, you know, us being me and you being in the music business and being from the hood, we done came across every type of person. Like, I know it's probably hard to get something past you because you from the hood and you've been all over the world. Like, I remember I was in Chicago and I was in the suburbs of Chicago and these bulls were trying to jam me at a show. I'm like, man, I wake up at 5 a.m. and pray. Like, y'all gonna have to try harder than that. Like, I seen it coming a mile away. Like, I didn't, this nigga's in my hood. Like, y'all all every day that I gotta avoid. Like, I done seen it all.
Right.
So basically what I'm saying is, like, being in the business and being around the world, we good judges of character. You can tell when somebody's sincere or somebody not sincere. And when I met Joe Biden, like, he was sincere with his grievances to me and for my son, because he'd been through it with his son.
His
you know what
son,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Son, and
yeah.
When we talk, I could feel the sincerity in him. And even when they reached out to me and they told me he was interested in meeting me because of the situation with my son and what I've been through and all that, you know, I felt it and it was sincere. You know, that's why I voted for him. And that's why I posted the picture of me and him. You know, everybody got something to say under the post, like you with the slave master and all that. But they don't even know what's going on. Like, they blind and they don't even understand that me and this man have a real connection. We both lost our child. Like, there's a serious connection that anybody that go through this and anybody that's watching this that lost a child is going to feel what I'm saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's real.
It's bigger than the politics. Is you guys collecting as fathers, and also you just even seeing the conversation of the healthcare and the importance of it. Man, like, so you talk about the kidney transplant, and I remember when I heard it somewhere. What was that process like? You knew you had to get a kidney. Your life depended on it. What was that waiting process like, and what was the moment like when you actually got the call to say, we got you a kidney?
The waiting process is tough, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Some people wait 10, 12 years. Like, I remember they was doing a rally for Meek. I think Meek was still booked and he had a rally. So car service came pick me up to take me to the rally, speak at the rally. And I'm sitting in the car right before I'm getting ready to go. I think Meek had just came home. I think he was home at the time and he was doing a rally and I went down there to support and speak at the same time. And I was sitting in the car waiting to go on stage and I got the first call like, yo, we might have a kidney for you. So I'm like, automatically, like, that joint just put me like, oh, wow, like, this might really happen for me. And that wound up not working out, but it gave me hope. Like, okay, they're starting to call now. So what I did was, shout out to the great people at Johns Hopkins, man. That's where I got my kidney transplant at. And when I was there, I felt like I was the only patient. Like, they really treated me amazing. What I did was, they had a research study where they were giving people kidneys with hepatitis C, and they was curing the hepatitis C. It's a medicine called Maverick, and you take one pill a day for 8 weeks. And it cures the hepatitis C. This was back in 2019. The process was so new that insurance didn't even cover it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, of course, it's a risk with taking a kidney that got hepatitis C, because you never know where the person, whatever else the person is doing. When you register to get a kidney, they have high risk kidneys. It might have been somebody that was doing drugs and everything. Of course, they clear the organ, and as far as they're concerned, the organ is 100% clean. But you never know. Like something might pop up. So you got to sign off on it. Of course, it's a risk. So I agreed to do it. I signed up for the program. And probably like the next 2 weeks, they called me. Like it was a Sunday. And they was like, all right, we got a kidney for you. They was like, Monday, just go to dialysis like you normally do and then come to Baltimore. And, you know, I went down there. I went to dialysis. And I was telling them, like, this might be my last day in here. Like, it was very emotional for me, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then I went to Baltimore. You know, I checked in the hospital. They did a couple little tests and everything. And they had to wait for the kidney to get there. They had to fly it there. So I wound up getting a transplant, like, the next morning, probably, like, 5, 6 in the morning. It was a 6-hour process. You know, they gave me the medicine that put me to sleep. I was asleep. I woke up. Had a new kidney, you know, changed my life, man. It was a blessing, man, you know.
Wow.
So many people died, that died trying to get to that point, bro.
To get to that point. Now, you was blessed. That prayer that you put up when you first heard about it, it worked.
Yeah, sure.
What was that feeling like when you woke up out of surgery, you went home, you went to sleep, you woke up the next day, and you realized that you got a new kidney?
Well, actually, you have to, once you get a transplant, you got to stay in the hospital for a couple of days. I got out early because everything was working, probably because I'm younger, you know, and, you know, everything was going in the right direction. So I think I got out, I went there Monday, then I got out Saturday, you know, it was a process where they, you know, just had to just make sure I was straight before they let me go home, make sure I had an understanding of the medicines that I had to take, because I had to take a lot of medicine. Yeah, They come in here with a book bag of medicine and a specialist to break down for you. Like, okay, you got to take these at this time. I'm like, wow. That was like one of my major fears, like about getting a transplant. Like, damn, I had to take all this medicine for the rest of my life. But I don't take as much medicine as I took when I first got the kidney. And it's not a big deal. Like, you know, I set my alarms. I take medicine 8 a.m, 8 p.m. I just put it into my regular routine, you know, and it's helping me stay alive, and it's a blessing.
When you were saying all that medicine, I'm like, thank God for insurance now.
Yeah, for sure. Oh,
you know, imagine what that would have been like with no insurance trying to pull that off.
Yeah, I probably would like it. I might have had to
I need to hold something. And I'm glad you made it through, man. I'm glad, you know, you got that call, you know, because we love you, brother. Like, we you know, I rock with you the long way.
For sure, bro.
Anything that I can ever do to help, bro, like anything that I can ever do to bring awareness to.
It's all good, bro.
You know, I'm here. Do you have a foundation yourself?
Yeah, I have a foundation. It's called Freedom Thinkers, Inc. That's my foundation. Okay. And I started Freedom Thinkers Academy. I have a website. It's called freedomthinkersacademy.com. And it's music, it's health, and it's culture. You see, they got the hat on, Freedom Thinkers, Academy. And on a website, you know, of course, you know, I share a lot of my music and pictures and stuff, but I also have workshops, like do-it-yourself workshops and interactive workshops for artists that, you know, want to reach their full potential in the music business. You know, like I do, I do one-on-one Zoom calls like how we're doing right now, and I do like a whole class Zoom calls on there too. And I'm working with a teacher, you know, her name is Catherine Smith. She's a doctor and a professor, and we're getting ready to add some STEM classes to the website too. You know what I'm saying? For people, you know, that want to get into the workforce and might not have went to college, and you know, and we're getting ready to add some health programs as well on there. You know, just overall, just trying to help the people. You know, music health.
There
and
it
culture,
is. You gotta put the people first.
For sure.
I appreciate your time and your energy, my guy.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I'll be praying for you on this end.
Love, man. So I always do that.
You know, I'm a phone call away and tell baby girl I'll be praying for her, too.
She right here.
And, yeah, Jesus. Where she at?
Jesus said,
how you doing, mama?
She said, how you doing? She can't hear you because I got the headphones on, but he said, he's praying for you. He's praying for you.
Already. Yeah, and I just want to commend you on being a great father.
Thank
and
you,
a strong
bro.
Black man, and I thank you for stopping by the Recession Podcast.
Anytime,
and,
yep.
Anytime you need me, I'm on deck. And next time when me and Meek in the studio, press play again to somebody do something.
early.
I love you, brother. Be safe, man.
I love you too, man.
Love, man.
Love.
For sure. Thanks for listening to the Recession Podcast by Jeezy, a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.